You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
I'd also love your thoughts this morning on the news that we are breaking here on Clare FM today of how the modular unit, a 60-bed modular unit planned for University Hospital Limerick, will now not open until mid-2020 at the earliest. This is a blow for patients, with many of us anticipating up until now that the unit would be open on time for winter 2019, and the extra 60 beds, the increased bed capacity, would result in hopefully less pressure on the emergency department, as would be more places for the patients to go. And it is not without good cause that people had anticipated that this unit would be open in the winter ahead.
So the people of the Midwest are owed hospital beds. They need them. They need them as quickly as possible. By pressing go on this modular build, we can know that we can have 60 beds in place probably by the end of 2019.
So for the 60-bed block to become reality, it'll be next winter. And what we need first is to do enabling works, which is all part of it. We have planning permission got. We've identified the contractor to do it. But the enabling works will take a number of months. Then the build will start. So you'd be looking at next winter before it would be open.
I'm confident that the funding will be made available in the budget for the modular beds, and that we can have that in place for the winter of 2019. Bed capacity is the problem down there.
Bed capacity, a problem identified by each of those three speakers: Health Minister Simon Harris, Colette Cowan, head of the UL Hospitals Group, and Clare Fine Gael Junior Minister Pat Breen. All of those clips come from late last year, when each of those speakers indicated that this unit would be open by the winter of 2019. Well, last week, a briefing note was sent from the Department of Health to local Oireachtas representatives, and it has been seen by Clare FM, and it outlines the plans for this particular project and tells us how there will be 60 single occupancy ensuite rooms that will improve patient comfort, safety, privacy and dignity, and assist with the management of infection control in the hospital, as well as increasing bed capacity. The briefing note then went on to state that the contract is divided into two phases. Clare Cowan just alluded to this. There will be enabling works first of all. They will take around 5 months to complete, and after that there will be 10 months of construction works. And when seeing that the 19.5 million euro project would take an estimated 15 months to complete, we got in touch with the UL Hospitals Group, who issued a statement to Clare FM in respect of this. They outlined how planning permission for the project was granted in October of last year. It would be another month, as you'll recall, before Simon Harris committed funding to it, but that was last November. The statement then concludes that the UL Hospitals Group understands the draft HSE capital plan of 2019 is due to be submitted to the Department of Health shortly. It will then be subject to the approval of the Minister for Health and the sanction of the Minister for Finance. A timeline for the delivery of the project can be better established when confirmation is received regarding the allocation of capital funding, and hence clarification when works can commence. Should funding for the project be formally approved in the coming weeks, it is anticipated that the works would be completed by mid-2020. So that's the earliest possible date in which this will be open, the middle of next year. Another winter of long trolley queues to come. I'm joined on the line this morning by Dr. Michael Kelleher. He's a GP in Lahinch. He's part of the IMO's GP committee. Dr. Kelleher, good morning to you.
Morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us. To what extent is this bad news for patients here in Clare in the Midwest?
Well, it's very disappointing news, Gavin. The delay, and it will be a lengthy delay in the acquisition of the 60-bed modular unit. And I suppose this is due to the cost overruns at the National Children's Hospital. That's going to impact across the health services this year and into future years. We will see delays in capital spending programs going forward.
And do you think that's what's happened here? I mean, nobody has formally said that, but looking at it and your own assessment of it, and you've seen those notes that I just read from, you're of the view that we can trace this back to the overspend of the Children's Hospital?
I think that's likely. I'm not an expert in health economics or expenditure, but there's 100 million removed from this year's capital health budget to meet overruns in the National Children's Hospital, and this is going to impact on people in the Midwest, and it impacts on all age groups, but probably most especially on the elderly, who are the highest users of our health service. Our population has grown, but the number of hospital beds has not, And 20 years ago, we had 6 hospital beds for every 1,000 patients. Now we have 3 hospital beds for every 1,000. Now, some of that is due to changes in healthcare delivery. We have a lot more day cases and shift into day case surgery. But nonetheless, there is a very marked trend there. Our bed numbers are not keeping pace with our population. We are need somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 more hospital beds to meet current capacity issues in our service.
And there's a particular problem in this region, as we've been hearing ad nauseum over the years.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier in your intro that this knocks on into A&E because you can't take people out of A&E. People are in A&E because they need to be in there. The vast majority of them are acutely unwell. Many of them screened by GPs in the community. They need to be in hospital. They can't be shifted from A&E up to wards if there are no hospital beds. And of course, we have lots of issues in our health service. We're in a time of significant shortages. And this capital cut will have an impact on that. Mm. We've 500,000 people on waiting lists. We're short of 500 consultant posts to shorten those lists. And we've about 1,400 GP shortages needed to maintain and move our current service forward. And towards that, we're in negotiations with the department for improvements to a GP contract, but that requires a reversal of STEMPI, because that set the GP service back a decade when we had about 38% cut from our capital budget. And we need new contract provision to meet a growing older population.
What do you make of the fact, and I don't think this is necessarily the newest fact, but as the UL Hospitals Group statement, from which I read a moment ago, stated, we are here on the morning of the 18th of February and we have no capital plan for the HSE for 2019.
Yeah, it says a lot, really. I mean, capital plans should be multi-annual and not year in, year out, and starting the year with a deficit. No other household or service would do that. You certainly wouldn't see that in the private sector. And we've had years of neglect of health planning and implementation, and we're seeing the fruits of that now. We have 560 new people crossing 65 years old weekly in Ireland, and we've very little provision made for that growing older population who will have most need of hospital-based services. We need a shift to community services in Ireland. This is recognised across the board. That's a GP service, public health nurses, community mental health care services. Very, very little provision being made for that.
We have another winter of long queues to come, at least, and hopefully it is only one. We can confirm that following on from this morning's report. Talk to me about your feelings as a GP when maybe somebody comes to you and you feel that they're in need of emergency care, perhaps in your practice, perhaps in and out of our service, whatever it may be, Dr. Kelleher. Are you ever reluctant, or does it ever weigh on your mind sending somebody into Dora Doyle, knowing the long waits that so many patients have had to endure there over the years?
It does weigh on your mind, but your primary concern in deciding whether someone needs to go to hospital or not is how ill are they, what are their health needs, and you have to refer them in to a unit. In fairness to the ERs, they make an effort to triage patients and deal with the most urgent cases soonest and most appropriately, but they are overstretched, and we're aware of the delays. There's nothing much we can do about that out in the community.
Would you ever hear from a patient, please don't send me to the A&E?
Oh, you do. However, at all times you have to decide what are their health needs, and you look at them as a health professional first and foremost. And where possible, you try and make provision for triage where it's important.
And obviously you will act in the best interests of your patients as they would expect, even if maybe it involves sending them there against their desires. But obviously, as I say, you're acting in their best interests. How worried generally, maybe even just yourself, but in the profession, are you about the fact that we still have this situation that we're all very familiar with in Dora Doyle, and now, as I say, it's going to continue for at least one more winter?
Well, it will continue for at least one more winter. I think it will continue for many winters, Gavin, because, as I said earlier, we've not made provision for a growing older population. For example, in 2016, the over 65s are 13% of our population, but 40% of people having day case procedures are over 65. That's two out of every five. And if you take your over 85-year-olds, a number that will triple in the next decade, 40 to 50% of those are the people who receive care. So these are the people that this impacts on most. We simply will never have enough hospital beds for that demand. We have to shift some of our resources into a community-based service, which delivers care in the community in a more timely manner.
Why is there a reluctance to do that? You're far from the first to make that call to invest in community care, to invest in primary care.
I think the difficulty is that we haven't had multi-annual budgets or planning in health for decades. We go from year to year. And that simply is not an adequate way to plan for health service. We're running in arrears. You'll see that right across the health debate. So we have to make a start at some point, and we would hope to see something happen in the coming weeks and months in turn in relation to the GP service. This would be to do with Sentry reversal, to restore the damage that's been done to that service and allow it build towards new provision. These are all essential steps that need to be taken, but the losses to the capital budget will impact on the hospital sector, and that's a fact of life at this stage. There's nothing we can do about that.
I'll leave it there. Dr. Kelleher, thanks for joining us this morning. All the very best.
Welcome, Gavin.
Thank you. Dr. Michael Kelleher is a GP based in Lahinch and is part of the IMO's GP committee.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.